Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I, again, am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Happy Martin Luther King Day, John.
Absolutely. And, of course, nobody listening to this will be still celebrating that, likely. As you know, as we always tell you, we do record on Monday. But, yes, happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We've got a couple things to go over here, and it's going to be an interesting week. But the first thing I want to mention is that, of course, wherever you're listening to us, whether it's on iTunes, whether you're on Spotify, whether you're on Google Play, whether you are on some random website that has shared us or whatever you are doing, please, if you can, if you listen on iTunes, please go give us a 5-star rating. Please share this link with your family and friends. Please spread the word. We definitely appreciate everybody who listens. If you have anything you want to send us, you can write us here at scottyjohnny@gmail.com. If you also want to reach out to us on Twitter, just so that it isn't just a message to just the two of us about how stupid you think we are. If you want to share that with the world, you can reach me at jbarn54. Aaron, where are you at?
John, I'm at Cheddar Talk. Cheddar Talk. Cheddar Cheese. Cheddar Cheese. Talk. Talk. Cheddar Talk.
I was getting very worried it wasn't going to go on for 5 minutes, but you rounded it out nicely, and
Well, I have to apologize right now, and my throat might be cracking tonight. I got about half a bottle of Tussin in me, and I'm washing it down with the Keystone Ice. So,
we'll be ready with the drop at any minute.
The energy level is not there today, John. But hey, I heard that Tony Romo said this was going to be a great podcast, and sees being that everything he says is right, this should be a good podcast.
He's calling his shot, and he seems to hit them all. Also, you can follow the podcast itself at ScottyJohnny1 on Twitter.
Starting things off with the main event.
Aaron, all the football news is not Packers, it seems, for the most part. And there are some pretty worked up people in a couple big cities in America.
Right.
But the news today, brand new news today, it sounds like Luke Getsy. I always want to make it Getsky because I'm a Pole from central Wisconsin. Yeah, Luke Getsy. He had been long rumored here for the last couple of weeks to be coming to Green Bay to take the wide receiver coach job. He did come here and interview, and then I believe he left at one point and hadn't taken it. He's been the offensive coordinator for Mississippi State the last couple of years, and it sounds like today Rob Domofsky is reporting Getsy will be joining the Packers, but as the quarterback coach. So he'll be the go-between between Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, and then also onto the head coach, LaFleur, as well. A lot of the other changes here, that means that I guess we don't have a wide receivers coach right now. We kept the running backs coach, Ben Sermons, and the tight ends coach, Brian Angelico, in terms of the offense. The new offensive line coach is an assistant offensive line coach from the 49ers who has joined the Packers, Adam Stenovich. The big changes, most of the defense is staying the same. It sounds like, there's a couple groups here. We still have Pettine, obviously, which is good, and I'm very much in favor of that. Jerry Montgomery is staying on as the D-line coach. Winston Moss is out, has been for a while, because he's an insane person who people hand a microphone to. But yeah,
he kind of punched his own ticket on that one.
Jason Simmons is staying. He's been the safeties coach for the last couple of years. He's staying, but it is not clear at this point if he's going to be the safeties coach or going to a different position with the team, possibly the passing game coordinator or passing game, whatever they call it, that has been Joe Witt for the last several years. Witt and Campen both leaving, going to Cleveland. Those are tough losses. I'll tell you that those hurt. I love Campen. I remember watching him. I have James Campen's card. You know, it's like, he's a great guy. He's a great coach and a great Packer.
Is he a Wisconsin boy too?
I'd have to look that up.
Born and raised Wisconsin?
I don't remember.
So here's a question for you, John. So this Getsy guy, so offensive coordinator, Mississippi State. So is it going to be him learning more about being a quarterback's coach than him actually being a quarterback's coach? But it's kind of a weird position to be thrown into, like not having ever been I don't know if there's a world-renowned quarterback whisperer out there besides Mike McCarthy, you know, and you're not bringing Mike McCarthy back as quarterback's coach. Well, that'd be odd.
This is kind of that natural progression that happens frequently in terms of building your resume. You move from something like a wide receiver coach or a running back coach. And generally, the step before you get to offensive coordinator is that you move into that quarterback coach spot. It's the guy who is just underneath the offensive coordinator in the NFL at this point because of the value of quarterbacks. And it's kind of that stepping stone position. He's a guy who's been an offensive coordinator at a major school who gets their butts handed to them all the time. So now he's moving back to the NFL, and he's going to take that spot just below coordinator, basically. He's taking the quarterback coach spot. I can't imagine he wanted to come back just to be the wide receivers coach again. Why leave to do that? So it's his stepping stone to eventually moving on to an offensive coordinator spot in a couple years, possibly. We'll see.
James Campen is from Sacramento, by the way.
Yeah, I just saw that, too.
But him and his family live in, help me there, Suamico?
Yeah, well, they'll be living in Cleveland very shortly, near sure Cleveland.
Yeah.
So,
my other question to you, too, is you said that now we're without a wide receivers coach. And I heard Brer over on KFAN the other day talking about player coaches and how they don't exist anymore. Any chance that Randall Cobb comes back as a wide receiver / wide receiver coach?
Not this year. I could see him doing that. He's going to be a great coach.
Oh, absolutely. I want him in the fold with the Packers, too, because he's going to be an excellent coach. Problem is the dude can't stay on the field.
Yeah, he's been hurt, but he doesn't think he's done, and nor should he think that. He's several years younger than Jordy Nelson. He's got time left. He's just been hurt a lot. But, I mean, he's got a quarterback mind. He played quarterback, and he's a great wide receiver. He understands how an offense works. He understands making something out of nothing and reading a defense. He's going to be a good coach someday. He'd be a great wide receiver coach. I just don't think it'll be this year because he doesn't think he's done, and he shouldn't.
No, I said as a player coach.
I don't think that's the thing. Like I said, I don't think
they said
the thing.
They said that Randall Cobb pretty much runs the meetings during the wide receiver breakouts anyways.
And that's probably why they fired the last guy.
There's that. Why are we paying it? They'll just roll into the season with that. I don't know why we're paying to do it if Randall Cobb's just going to roll with it anyways. And he's injured 10 weeks out of the year anyway, so he'll just coach during those weeks.
Yeah. I was very sad to see Campen go and Witt go. They're both high-quality guys. Right now, the defense needs a couple people. We still need a wide receivers coach and outside linebacker coach, cornerback coach, and maybe a safety coach. We're not sure on that. Running supervisor or coordinator, whatever they're calling it, and the pass game coordinator guys, those are spots that they're going to want to fill as well. The other thing, of course, is that somebody needs to step into the big shoes of Ron Zook. And I tweeted yesterday after Edelman touched that ball and let it roll past him. The Patriots just about got zooked there.
Yeah, they did.
Why is he anywhere near that ball? Catch it or don't. Don't go halfway.
That was something else too. Oh, I didn't even write down in my notes. We didn't even talk about during pre-show that end of the Saints game with that pass interference. Anyways, speaking of bad calls.
You want to hear that, though, there's a Saints podcast for you. We have plenty to say on that, and we're definitely on Twitter, so follow us on Twitter. You'll see it.
Yeah.
We'll move along Packers talk.
Yeah, I know. So the special teams coach, who do we have? None yet, right?
Nope, nobody. We've had a couple people interview. We really thought the guy from Miami was coming in.
Oh, he that's did come what it was. In, that's but, what the tweeter
yeah,
saw.
Left without a contract, though. So we'll see what they do moving forward here on that. That'll be the one that I'm going to watch the most because it – special teams killed us. It cost us for sure one game.
Cost us one Super Bowl appearance.
Well, it cost us one game this year when Montgomery comes out of the end zone for no reason at all. A couple little plays here or there where returning a ball that should not be returned, kicking it short when you should kick it just through the end zone and make sure they don't return to you, like kicking to Tariq Cohen for no reason at all, things like that. And like, why are you giving electric players the ability to touch the ball? Just put it away.
Speaking of Ty Montgomery, so remember all the flack the Packers took for trading away him and Ha Ha?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
And it didn't pan out for either of them. And the Packers just got roasted by like Stephen A. Smith and others, like the Packers are just quitting. And it's like Ty Montgomery did nothing when he got to Baltimore. And Clinton Dix actually cost the Redskins some games.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that he was very upset because he thought that, you know, Herb Adderley is probably still on the Packers, and he could have probably brought him under his wing and made HaHa better, because Stephen A. Smith has shown over the last several weeks he has no idea who's playing football games, who's actually still an active player in the NFL, or what in the world he's talking about. And then also made some weird comments while Greg Hardy was busy further showing what an incredible jerk he is this week. So,
now what did he do now?
Oh, he was in a UFC fight and had an illegal kick. So even in a stage match against a willing, willing combatant who is a grown man, he could not stay within the rules.
Oh, well, thank God it was a grown man.
Yeah. Who was willing.
Not his usual targets.
Well, not just a grown man, but a grown man who at least also said, yes, I'm willing to be in this fight together with you. And he still broke the rules and kicked him in the face in an illegal kick. So
Ty Montgomery had 105 receiving yards this year, by the way.
Attaboy for a receiver from Stanford. That's it. We're going to keep our eyes on the coaching staff and how things keep getting put together as we move forward. Then, obviously, after the Super Bowl and everything, we'll start looking at what we're going to see in the free agent market and whether or not people like Nick Perry and Jimmy Graham are going to stay around with the gigantic contracts that they still have for next year. And a couple good things on, I believe, Acme Packing about how those contracts should be gotten rid of and they need to go, just because of how much they're being paid for what they're not doing.
And Nick, I just had so much hope for Nick Perry too. I really thought, you know, he got shorthanded with injuries early in his career, and he flashes, but flashes don't work, you know.
Yeah, he has stayed on the field 1 year. Now I'll stutter my way through that again, but he stayed on the field just one season and then got paid. And he's great in the run game, which Matthews isn't. Matthews runs away from blocks every time. He can't hold the point of attack. He doesn't stretch out run plays to the outside.
But again, what do I always say, John? What's the number one ability in football?
Availability. Flight.
Yeah, flight would be awesome, but no, availability. You know, and it was someone from the Vikings was saying it about, who's the kid that they drafted that was super fast? He was a wide receiver. He ended up in Buffalo at the end. Percy Harvin.
Oh, Percy. Yeah. Buffalo and Seattle.
Yeah, they were talking about Percy because Percy Harvin had as much talent as, maybe as much as Randy Moss. That might be a stretch, but as far as talent-wise goes, Percy Harvin had a lot of talent.
Yeah.
But that dude had zero drive, and when he started missing games because of migraines and other things, he might have been having migraines. I don't know. But
I'm sure he did.
It was Ben Lieber that mentioned that. He's like, you know, you can be the most talented person on earth. If you're not on the field, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. And if you're missing 10, 12 games a year and you're only out there four, and in those four games you're lighting it up, great, you're not helping the team. Because, you know what, the number one ability is availability. And if you're not, it's, you know, A.J. Hawk, for being a fifth overall first-round pick, was never much, I guess. But, I mean, the Packers got their money out of him. They got the wear out of the tires on that one. That dude didn't miss games. He was always out there. He's kind of like Blake Martinez. You know, at least he's there. At least you know he's going to be there week to week to week.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a guy who doesn't get burned. Like Blake and AJ are very similar, I think. They don't get burned. They're going
to
be
tackling 3 yards downfield, but you know what? That's because they're pretty much the only thing between that running back scoring a touchdown and not scoring a touchdown. Because they've already blown through the line and the D-backs aren't going to stop them.
Well,
so
at the end of the year, especially beginning of the year when they had Wilkerson, Daniels, and Clark at the front line, you should be able to do whatever you want behind that defensive line.
Right.
But
either way, I mean, and you know what? Johnny Holland was the same middle linebacker too. Brian Noble was the same middle linebacker too. Going back in Packer history, it's just a lot of volume tackle guys, and that's cool. And you know what else they all have in common? They were always there. You know, they were always on the field. You know, before Nick Collins snapped his neck, he was there every game, and he was great. That dude would have been an HOF hands down had he not gotten injured early. Anyhow, so
the big thing,
off my stone.
You're right. And moving forward here in our main event section is the Bucks, and this week 10 was the lucky number.
And yeah, no, what was it? I've got all the scores here. They won by 10 points a number of times.
Three straight times. Memphis 111 to 101. Orlando 118 to 108. Dallas 116 to 106. It was like three straight games of 10-point wins. And then right before that, a gigantic blowout against Miami, 124 to 86.
Which if I don't have it right in front of me right now, but I think that Miami was their last loss? No, second to last loss here.
No, they beat Miami.
No, they lost to Miami 2 weeks ago. That's what I'm saying. That was like their last loss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, the Wizards. They lost to the Wizards. That's right, too, in there.
Sam Decker's Wizards.
Sam Decker's Wizards, yes. But yes, no, the last loss before that was to the Heat. To tell you, it's the last time the Bucks had lost a game last week but they lost a game. I'm getting there now, Don. Sorry, that tab just fragged on me. So they lost one to the Bullets last week, just before that show. Yeah. And then they lost to Toronto. then they lost to Miami back on December 22nd. That was their third loss.
Yeah.
The one of three losses since December 22nd. So
it's been a great run here. They had, they got four games in this week and they won all four of them and they did so pretty well. Giannis's worst game was a triple double, basically.
Yes.
12, 10, and 10 triple double in a game which we were saying before, as we were talking about this before the show, this was Bledsoe's week. He had just a blow-up week, led the team in scoring against Miami with 17, put up 30 against Orlando. He went 37-2, points, rebounds, assists against Orlando. Giannis just killing it. He double-doubles all over the place here.
Every game is a double-double for Giannis.
Against Memphis, he went 27-11. Orlando 25-13 and Dallas 31-15. Mm-hmm. 31-15 and 5 assists as well. The one thing also, the Memphis game got some good help from the bench. DJ Wilson came off the bench and put up 13.
Right.
It's just nice to be able to suddenly get, 13 points from somebody who does not play a ton, who can just go out there and help. They've got good bench for the most part, I think.
Yeah, and they made some trades here in the last couple. I can't remember the guy's name right now. They picked up off the street who's going to be decent. They got him out of the G League. And some other moves, too. And like you said, the line today against Dallas, 31-15-5, that's a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar number right there, a Lew Alcindor number. Like, that's a typical Kareem game right there. But the one thing that I've noticed is, and so like when you're on, let's just put it out there, give credit to ESPN.com, because that's where I'm at right now, where they do the game summary and they give you wins, losses, record, and then top players in each game. Earlier in the season, it was Akun Atumbo for points, Akun Atumbo for rebounds, and Akun Atumbo for assists. And it's still like that in a lot of games. Like just back on the 29th against Brooklyn, of course, was Giannis's 31-10-10 triple-double. But it's starting to get to the point now that you're starting to see some other games where other names are starting to pop up. Brogdon, Ilyasova, Middleton. He was the leader against that last the bad loss last week against Washington. But, I mean, Bledsoe's starting to pop up. Bledsoe's putting in 30 points. I mean, it's Bledsoe and Middleton are starting to be real players. And Lopez is a nice fourth. And they're not getting any respect. I mean, ESPN hates the Bucks so much that the headline today when they played Dallas was Doncic as another mark with triple double, because of course what's his name, Luka Doncic for the Mavericks had
Luka Doncic.
What's that?
Luka Doncic.
I will not say that name right. His name has an accent mark, that little upside down triangle, and a dotted I. That's wrong. And he should have to apologize to the human race for that. But anyway, so in a game today, so like let's recap the game today. So into the Bucks part now. So the Bucks, of course, first in the East, finally, even though their record is finally better than the Raptors, even though there's that big gap in games. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, 5 in a row. Today, I was in Milwaukee, one block away from Pfizer, but I wasn't at the game. I was at the Milwaukee Public Museum with my kids. Yeah, there says my life right there. Could have just been across the block. Would have probably paid as much for a ticket for the Bucks game. But Bucks win 116-106. Giannis, like we said, 31-15-5. Lopez, 16-10. Middleton had 13. Brogdon had 19. Bledsoe had 21. And like aforementioned, Luka, sure, he was 18-11-10, which is, I mean, it's a triple-double. It's the NBA. Good job, you're a rookie. But, yeah, you know, it's.
Yeah, he's been great. And,
oh, he's great. I don't get me wrong, but yeah, ESPN hates the Bucks so much that that was the lead for that game.
Yeah.
Not the Bucks are 18-4 in their since they lost to Golden State on December 17th. They are 18-4. Get that 18-4 because if you remember, like the beginning of December and end of November was kind of rough. They won one, lost one. They were 4-4 through the end of November, early December, and then they lost Golden State at home. And since then, they've ripped off wins. And one of the losses, of course, to Toronto at home. Yeah, that's going to happen. And Washington, the Heat, and I'm not going to go up far enough to figure out who the other loss was to. But, I mean, so they're on fire, you know. And so, you know, and in the last week here, they, of course, they beat them, and then they beat Orlando on Saturday, 118-108. Wednesday, they beat Memphis, 111. And that was Saturday was at Orlando, and Wednesday was at Memphis. Memphis, they beat 111-101. And on Tuesday, they beat the Heat at home, 124-86. So, I mean, they were in Milwaukee, then in Memphis, then in Orlando, and then back home in Milwaukee over 6 days. And they won each game by double digits. They're an amazing team. And they're really not getting the credit because they're the team from Milwaukee.
And here's the thing is, like, at this point in the year, we're in late January. We know what the NBA is going to look like from here on out. There's nothing else you're going to learn. The season goes on forever, but by now we know what's going to happen. It will be Bucks and Golden State in the title game. We're going to say it right now. And Harden will be the MVP.
Well, Harden will be the MVP, and they might not make the playoffs.
but he will because it's all about scoring.
Sorry, sidetrack. Let's go down the rabbit hole here. Did you see what happened today between the Bulls and the Rockets, by the way?
No, I didn't watch any.
The Rockets traded
Carmelo Anthony has been
to the Bulls with cash for nothing.
Why not? Let's see. He's not a player anymore.
Just to get him off the roster, his NBA veteran minimum off the roster. Because they need to clear a roster spot for the guy they got from who just got bought out by the Nets.
Yep.
And the Bulls are expected to waive Carmelo Anthony as soon as he clears waivers.
Yep. Yeah, he's just a body at this point. He can't do anything. He's not there to help you. He's just a body.
The Rockets don't want him. The Bulls took him so they can continue tanking their season so they can get Zion Williams. Anyways, back to the Bucks. Back to good teams in the East. Some other thoughts. So, like I said, I was in Milwaukee today. There's billboards all over town saying, "Get online, vote for Giannis to make the All-Star game." Hey, stop voting for Giannis. He's gonna make it.
Continue voting for him, but also vote for Bledsoe.
Like, let's take the concentration off him because everyone wants to see him. Not just people in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to see him. He's the only NBA player I remember since I've been a kid who's had a 60 Minutes done on them, not named Michael Jordan. So everyone knows who this guy is. He's likable. He's good looking. He's insane. Yeah. Let's start directing those votes towards, I don't know, Bledsoe, Lopez, anybody else. Because right now they don't think that we don't have any. They think we don't have any other good players in Milwaukee, but we do. Also, another cool thing today. So Giannis's brother Kostas plays for Denver. He has not played yet, but he is getting better, and he has actually earned himself a spot on the team to move or to go with the team when they're on the road. And he only did warm-ups. He didn't actually get to play in the game. But so there was a cool little reunion between Giannis and his brother.
Oh, cool.
And then to wrap up the Bucks news, Big Ragu DiVincenzo was sent down to the G League, the Wisconsin Herd. And I think, where's Wisconsin? Where do they play?
Appleton.
Where?
They're up in Appleton.
Oh, that's where the Rattlers are too, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, oh, the Timber.
Monopoly yeah. on the developmental teams in the state.
There's money in that area, and they can put together stadiums, so they can get the funding to get that sort of thing done, and it works. And there's enough people because you'll pull from Appleton. It's an hour to Stevens Point or Wausau, and it's a half hour to Green Bay.
You're pulling Green Bay, you're pulling Wausau, you're pulling Stevens Point, you're pulling Rapids,
Fond du Lac.
And then of course Appleton, Oshkosh, Neenah-Menasha, Fond du Lac is, I think, the third biggest metro area in the state, right?
Yeah, and like we said, there's money in that area.
None of the towns are that big, but there's just a ton of teams all along the west side of Lake Winnebago. So
yeah, and Chilton's not far,
right? And what I say about that with the Big Ragu, you know, and there was another player they got sent down to who's super, you know, he was pulled off a huge triple-double, too, when he got sent down to the Herd. Hey, you know these players that are sitting on the bench not getting any playing time? You know, this is what they do in the NHL, too, and it should be more. You should be able to do this with your better players. Moving them back and forth to, like, your upper level minor leagues, and this is why the NFL stinks, because they don't have a minor league system for stuff like that. Your guys don't get playing time. You know, your backups and practice squad people don't get playing time. They get practice reps, and that's it. They don't play in actual games once they leave college. And so they don't develop any further. So DiVincenzo, you know, it was a later draft pick, and I'm glad the Badgers took him. You know, he was awesome in college. But get him down there. Let him play. Let him play against people that are his peers instead of just riding the bench, getting a couple minutes here and there. Yeah, it's going to help to play against the big guys. But you know what? When you're young like that, keep developing. You know, why not? What the hell? It's good for him. I think it's not a slight to be sent down there if you're going to be starting every game and getting 35 minutes or whatever. I think the G League is shorter games. I think it's more like college length games. But, you know, good for, you know, let him get better. The Bucks are going to need him in the playoffs. So get better, get good. You know, God bless you, son.
I said they need that bench most of the time. They didn't need him on the Dallas game because they only got 16 points from the bench in that game. They're getting a lot of points from the bench and a lot of help there, but it's nice that they can do it without the bench in that game. But in other basketball news in the state of Wisconsin, you may have noticed this, but the Wisconsin Badgers beat the number 2 team and previously undefeated Michigan Wolverines. And any day the Wolverines fall is a day of celebration in the Barnett household, I'll tell you that. It was a crazy game, and I'll tell you, you heard how I sounded last week when I was talking about this. I said that, you know, obviously after losing to Purdue and Minnesota and Western Kentucky and the sort of run that the Badgers were on there, the only team they were beating was like Penn State, who still hasn't won a Big Ten game this year.
And I didn't realize that Penn State had a basketball team.
They do, yeah. Yes, kind of. But they pulled this game off. And, of course, the first question is, how did you not beat Minnesota if you can beat Michigan? And this was, yeah. Everybody has slumps, and I'll give them that. Like, everybody, the college basketball season, I mean, these are kids. They're playing a lot of games, they're back and forth, whatnot. Everybody has ups and downs. They had some games where they were not playing particularly well, but after that win, the Badgers are tied for 6th in the Big Ten with Minnesota, both at 4-3 in conference, 12-6 overall. They of course lost to Minnesota, but they beat Iowa, who was 5-3 in conference, so they're half game behind them. They had a really tough game against Maryland that they could have won. They played in Maryland in a blizzard, you know, getting to the stadium in a blizzard. They obviously was not snowing indoors. But, yeah, lost to Maryland, who's number 3. They lost to Purdue, who's 4th. Lost to Minnesota, who's ahead of them. The nice thing is this week they'll get a little bit of a reprieve as they get to stroll through Illinois and play Northwestern, who is 5-2 in conference, and Illinois, who is 1-6. So two of the bottom 4 teams in the conference at this point, and that should kind of help boost them back up a little bit. But, yeah, this game was crazy. It was back and forth all game. This was a tight game. It looked like a 10-point win. Technically and mathematically, it was a 10-point win. Mm-hmm. But it was the last minute that gave them the pull away on this one. At one point, Wisconsin was up right before halftime. They were up 25-21. And Michigan went on a 6-point run, a 6-0 run to finish the half with a 27-25 lead. Wisconsin was in it that whole way. They stayed right there with them. And that was the difference between this one. Like Maryland, we thought they were out at halftime. Then they only scored like 15 points at half. I mean, we talked about this.
I think that's what we were talking about. It was like 15 points. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an insanely low number. Yeah. And they played with Michigan. They stuck with them. They were 27-25. They were 2 points away this game. They didn't get behind and then have to chase Michigan. They got to stay with them. Down the stretch, it's a 3-point game, I believe, at a point there where and I was texting you about this because I was actually watching the game. This is a hilarious way of saying this, but my daughter had an ear infection. So we were in the walk-in clinic. And,
oh, fun.
And I was watching on my phone with my daughter, not ignoring her. The two of us are watching together, me and my five-year-old. It was a minute left or like that. They were getting the ball. They're up by three. It was 57-54. Badgers have the ball. They come up the floor. Michigan has an intentional foul called on them. They clearly foul Hap away from the ball. The guy is clearly trying to stop him from getting across the court. He's grabbing and pushing him because, of course, if you want to foul anybody to hope they get free throws, because they were in bonus, they were hoping to foul Hap. And he very clearly did it, and he meant to do it. And it met the rules as to what an intentional foul was. And Michigan is mad about it, obviously. Hap makes one of two on the intentional free throws. They get the ball back. He puts the shot up, gets his own rebound, tips it back in, and suddenly they're up by six. It's 60-54. Michigan goes down quickly, tries to shoot up a three. Reavers blocks it and ends up on the far side of the shooter. Davison gets the ball, lobs it down the floor. Reavers just goes down, grabs it, and dunks it. Michigan then has this really lazy, sloppy inbounds, and Davison does not stop. He is a straight-up motor glue guy, and he runs and picks off the inbounds pass. And legitimately, he is trying to dribble out the clock. There's 5 seconds left, five seconds. They foul him with 5 seconds left. I don't even understand doing that. It was an 8-point game, and mm-hmm. you had 5 seconds left. Why not just let the clock run out? You can't win that one. But Michigan fouled him. And he makes both free throws. Michigan throws up a prayer at the end, and it's a 10-point win. But it was a 3-point game with a minute left. And they pulled away at the end there, but they finished that game. They took that game, and they just took it to Michigan and said, no, they played great defense down the stretch. Much less sloppy game than what they had the previous one against Maryland, where they had just ridiculous numbers of turnovers. This game went just way better. I'm going to check the actual turnover numbers. They had 11 as a team, and Michigan had 11 as a team. So they were even on that one.
Like I texted you during the game when you were engaging me about this one, too, is that I'm looking back at the games they've won and lost now. And so, of course, they knocked off, you know, after a good opening to the season, they lost to University of Virginia. 53-46, and then they beat NC State, then they beat 14 Iowa, and then they beat Rutgers, and the season was looking pretty good. Then they lost one in Milwaukee at Marquette. You know, and that happens. Then they, whoever Sav is, what was that? Savannah State? Savannah State, was that who they beat 101-60?
Yep.
And then they beat Grambling. And then they lost to Western Kentucky. And then they lost to Minnesota. Then they beat Penn State. Then they lost to Purdue. Then they lost to Maryland. So that's a pretty bad stretch there.
Yeah, four out of five in games that you should win. I mean, those are teams you should beat, except for Maryland maybe. But
yeah, Maryland, they're a ranked team. It's the Big Ten. Yeah, it happens. Then you beat Michigan. It's like I texted you. This team's like malaria. I'm hot, then I'm cold. Then I'm hot, then I'm cold. Then I'm hot, then I'm cold. Somebody give me some penicillin. You know, it's...
Quinine, whatever it is, yeah.
I'm sure there's a doctor listening. They can correct me.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Probably one in my family. Yeah. Anyhow, great win. We get to have, like I said, the Illinois followed by Northwestern this week, and then on the 29th, so a week, you know, next week after that, they'll be playing Nebraska ball.
Did you just come up with that yourself?
No. They say that in Nebraska.
Oh, do they really? Okay.
That's a thing. My brother, as you know, is a Nebraska graduate, and it is Nebraska ball. That is what he calls his bracket in our bracket challenge that we've done. So yeah.
That's so bad.
All right. So next, moving into what we're going to call the tail here, just the quick rundown of other Wisconsin sports that don't really have a whole lot of news here.
Rapid fire time now with the tail, covering Wisconsin's other sporting events.
The only thing in the Brewers right now, Sonny Gray gets traded to the Reds and then immediately extended. The Reds are definitely putting out a lot of things to get a lot of new names and a lot of new players there. Starting pitchers are getting rare. Talk is, of course, still Keuchel's still out there, but I don't think the Brewers have the money at this point for that.
Right, and everything is dead with Mad Bomb, so yeah. Sorry.
And Jimmy Nelson says that he is on pace for coming back in the spring and should be there by spring training, but you know, he says he's doing the things he would normally do in his off-season pace and that he's on pace to be back for spring, but we will wait, and we will wait and see because we've been so close on him so much.
Well, if he ever actually comes back, God bless you, but, man, I don't think it's ever going to really happen. Sorry.
Hope against all hope, right? It's just,
right.
We'll see. Good thoughts for Jimmy Nelson out there. Love watching him pitch. He's a really great pitcher. We'd like to see him back with the team. Big news, women's college hockey. Biggest matchup of the year at this point. The UW women's hockey team goes into Minneapolis and gets out, of course, which is great. Because getting out of Minneapolis is the most important thing that happens when you go into Minneapolis. But they split with the Gophers on the road. The Friday night game, they took them out 2-1 and then had a 3-1 loss on Sunday. So they are now 21-3-0. And after the season, after the series here, they're still getting 13 of 15 first place votes and holding on to that number one spot going forward. So good job for them going into the number two team in the country, coming out of there with a split. A very good game and series for UW women. UW men had a rough time playing the number 12 ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who are a Big Ten team in hockey. And should be a Big Ten team in, by the way, all other sports.
Every other sport, yes.
Because it makes no sense to have them anywhere else. There are two other Indiana D1 teams in the Big Ten already.
Hey, I'm glad that we have an independent team in the college playoffs because they represented so well.
Yeah, well, so did the SEC team, by the way. Yes. Anyhow, the men played basically a home-and-home, played at the Kohl Center on Friday night, and they were tied 3-3 going in to the third period. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish pulled away in the third period, though, took a 6-4 win at the Kohl Center, and then they took a day off like the women did, and then they played at the United Center in Chicago, and they actually played a 2-2 tie through three periods, played the extra period, played for scoreless extra period, went into 3-on-3. Notre Dame gets out of there with a 3-2 win in overtime, so Wisconsin still does get a point in Big Ten play. So hanging in there, it's a tough, tough schedule, but, man, a lot of talent on this team, a lot of goal scorers here, and a very good series here. Actually had an assist from the goalie, Lebedev, the first, I believe, assist by a Badger goaltender since 2012. I'm pretty sure that's what I heard on there. And so... bigger things coming here. The tough weekend of losses and games where they were very close on Notre Dame. In the more lower-end hockey, D3 hockey, another giant matchup here. Number one, UW-Stevens Point, and number three, UW-Eau Claire, played on Friday night. It was 1-0 after one period. Pointers scored two goals in the second to take a 3-0 lead. Eau Claire Blue Golds got a late second period goal to make it a 3-1 game that ends up being your final. UW-Eau Claire drops to number four. UW-Stevens Point remains undefeated and number one in the country. Geneseo is the number two team. They're the number one team basically out in the East, and they don't do a lot of back and forth that way. So that'll be the interesting look going forward. UWSP then traveled and beat River Falls the next day, 6-2. UW-Eau Claire will be playing Stout on Wednesday.
I've actually got something to add to that, John.
Oh, you go ahead.
If you don't mind. I know. I'm just kind of running you over right there. But so you know how we always tear on the Minnesota teams and their names, like the St. Thomas Tommies or the St. Johnny Johnnies or the Cobbers.
I did go to St. Thomas for a year. So.
Or the Gustavus Gustavies.
No, the Golden Gusties.
Oh, Golden Gusties, that's what they
Gustavus were. Gustavus Adolphus, Golden Gusties.
So our dear friend Tom Bonick, his the school that he was an alumni at for his law school, Hamlin. Do you know what Hamlin's mascot is?
Are they like the Hamlin Tigers or something?
The Pipers.
Are they? Oh, that's right. I did know that at one point.
And they actually have a suave-looking little mascot with a musketeer hat. So, anyways, the only reason why I bring that up is that UW Superior beat them 2-1. That was a couple weeks ago. That was their last game. But the UW Superior men now are 6-11-2, and they are not dead last in the conference because they are actually one better than UW River Falls in the conference standings, but not in overall. And Superior women lost 0-5 on Friday to UW Eau Claire, on Saturday to Eau Claire at Hobbs Ice Arena in Eau Claire, bringing their record to 7-3-1 overall, and they are dead last in the WEAC Women's Ice Hockey Division.
Not
so, UW Superior, pick it up.
UW Superior, not Superior.
Pick it up.
All right. So we'll end up this week doing our last calls, giving you just the last little thoughts before we leave.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
Well, my favorite of the week is Russell Westbrook's response the other night. And if you go onto my Twitter and watch the video, he was asked after a hard foul, him and Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid has a beef with everybody in the NBA, but basically a hard foul to Russell Westbrook. I can't say on this podcast what his response was. So, but it is, are we still cool?
No.
Anyways, blink no. Go check it out. It's a great video. It'll make you laugh. I believe that Tony Romo, he's a Wisconsin boy. He's from Burlington. That's only about 30 miles away from my current location in Janesville, Wisconsin. Heart of Wisconsin. Tony Romo should be the special assistant to Mike Pettine because the guy basically called every single play the Patriots were going to run from about mid-third quarter on yesterday, and it was ridiculous. The call at the end of the Saints-Rams game, I just call that karma for Bounty Gate on Brett Favre 10 years ago. That was one of the most blatant non-calls I've ever seen in a game. He just ran the dude over and then admitted to it in the post-game because, hey, once the game goes F, it doesn't matter. You can say whatever you want because they're not going to replay the game. And then last thing, Brady and Belichick, like we said in the during the pre-show warm-up here, had I started just betting the Patriots versus the field for both AFC representative in the Super Bowl and then Super Bowls won at the click of $1,000 per bet during the preseason 15 years ago, I'd be a millionaire right now. Why would, until further notice, why would anyone wager against the Patriots? It is what it is. And it's not fair for Aaron Rodgers and other quarterbacks to be put up against Tom Brady because what's going on up in New England is a machine. It's a machine that gets calls. So, that said, John, that's all I've got.
My big things this week are saying the videos that surfaced after the big win for the Patriots this weekend have Tom Brady and Julian Edelman meeting at midfield or something like that. And Edelman's like, oh, you're too old. And Brady says, oh, we have no skill receivers and no defense. It's amazing. Unreal. Nobody thinks they have no skill players. Nobody thinks the defense is terrible. They think it's not good necessarily. But that team is loaded with offensive talent. They have James White, Julian Edelman, Kevin Hogan, Rob Gronkowski, I mean, and Sony Michel. The fact that I can name five deep on offensive weapons on that team tells you that people, and I'm not the only one. I mean, I watch a lot of football, but people know the players on that team. Everybody knows the players on that team. The only people who think that no one thinks they're offensive weapons on the Patriots are Patriots fans and the Patriots players themselves convincing themselves that everybody thinks they're done. And ESPN says that sort of thing because they live amongst that Patriot talk all the time, and they're going to play it like the rest of us think that. Nobody thinks that the Patriots don't have the talent to do whatever they want on those fields. They're a great team, and Belichick has to be in your conversation with Lombardi and Halas at this point. I don't know that you necessarily say he has to be number one, but you can't have the conversation without him at this point. But it's a conversation still to have. The other thing that I need to say that needs to be talked about is the NFL overtime rules are dumb.
They
aren't football. If at this point you're saying that, look, if you want to win, you got to go out and stop them. Go out and stop them. That's the answer. I don't understand why everybody wants to change things. Well, then why don't we just do it from the beginning? Let's just make the whole game a sudden death. The whole game is
just
sudden death.
Just stop them. The entire NFL rule set is to favor the offense.
Yeah. If it's all about, like, you know what, if you want to win, stop them, then let's just make that the whole game. It'll be a much shorter game. It'll go way faster. It'll serve millennials for sure. And which are people 2 years younger than me, I guess. But still, it's like, if it's that's the answer you have, then let's do it from the first coin toss. You guys played an entire game of football. They're working out there for 3 hours, and what came out is that these two teams are even. Why does one team get an advantage over the other? The college rules are so much better. The NFL shouldn't play from the 25. They should start at the 40 or something. But the college rule is better. You cannot have watched the Badgers play Purdue this year and tell me that that was not 10 times more exciting to watch than the Patriots game. Whoever got the kickoff, people were leaving at that point. My son, my 12-year-old, was like, well, game. And he left the room. He left the room, and he wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong. And that's the thing is, the number of times that there have been games where you have turned an MVP into a spectator, that Peyton Manning has watched the game end without touching a ball, the thing is, if it had happened to Brady, we would change the rule tomorrow. It would have been changed today. If that had happened to Brady, if Mahomes went down and beat Brady in the same way, we'd be changing that rule today. But it didn't. And these rules are dumb. You should do it this way because then you're saying these teams are even. Let's give them an even chance to go after each other because they played this game already. This game ended. These teams are even. Let's give them an even shot. Otherwise, don't give me this nonsense of you have to play defense because the Patriots didn't have to play defense yesterday. And they would have given up a touchdown too, so that's our last call here. Again, thank you for listening.
I had a really good idea, and I kind of went by the wayside because it was said by a producer on a show. I don't even remember what show it was, but everyone was worried about equity, and both teams need the ball. Okay, so the Patriots went down. They scored in what, 8 plays, 9 plays?
Can't
so
remember.
Perfect equity. The Chiefs get the ball back. And they get 8 plays. Perfect.
I mean,
but it's if they're looking for equity, I mean, anything like that. And other side thought too, Julian Edelman and Randall Cobb are the same player. If Randall Cobb can stay healthy, by the way,
if he can stay healthy, the PED has definitely helped Julian Edelman, I think.
Oh God, yeah! Look at those biceps, insane.
Anyhow,
and the beard.
Right, obviously, as my son keeps saying, he looks like a homeless Viking. But anyhow, thank you again for joining us this week, everybody.
Reed made a cottage industry out of looking homeless on a regular basis.
Kimbo Slice, yeah.
Oh God.
All right. Thank you for joining us again, everybody. It's been wonderful to have you. Make sure you go follow us on Twitter again at jbarn54, at Cheddar Talk, and at ScottyJohnny1. Make sure you go on to iTunes, give us those reviews. We definitely appreciate them. We've appreciated everybody all across the country downloading us as we're watching. We apparently have a huge following in Ohio. Who knew? Yeah, and so please share this too with your family and friends. Get this out to everybody. And remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, that it is always, always on Wisconsin.
Hey-oh, hockey!